Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we'll be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Zayin, the seventh Perek. At this point in the Sefer, we are in the second Perek of Iyov's response to his first friend Eliphaz. Let's understand Sefer Iyov more globally. After we've had the introductory story, what's going to happen through the Sefer is each of Iyov's friends is going to provide their answer to Tzadik Varalo. After a friend speaks, Iyov responds. Whether it's the friend's speech or Iyov's response, those last between 1 to 2 prakim. So we have Eliphaz speaks, Iyov responds. The next friend speaks, Iyov responds. The next friend speaks, Iyov responds. And then we go in for a second round and then a third round before later the fourth friend, Elihu, presents his answer. So here we're in round number one of the friends speaking, and we're doing the response to the first friend. And his response, Iyov's response, takes place over 2 prakim. The first perek of his response, which we spoke about in Perek Vav yesterday, deals with his emotional state, his deeply fragile, difficult, challenging emotional state. As we shift to Perek Zayin, we're no longer dealing with where he is emotionally, but we're actually more specifically dealing with where he is hashkafically. In other words, at this point, Iyov takes his problems with emunah to a new height. Let's take a look together. Perek Zayin opens up with a pretty dismal description of how life works. In Pasuk Aleph, he says, Halot tzava le'enosh ale aretz ukemei sakir yamav. A person's life is limited on the earth, and they are as if they're a hired worker. In other words, we're here to do what we have to do. We're here to live out our life and do what God has put us in this world to do. And he makes in Pasuk Beis a comparison between 2 different types of workers. He says sometimes a person is an eved, a slave or a servant, yishaf tzel, who yearns for the shade, ukasachir, or sometimes we're like a hired worker, yekave po'alo, who longs for his work to be completed. And the Malbim points out, these are 2 hashkafically different ways of looking at how human beings are created or why Hashem creates human beings. The one is an Eved. An Eved is here to work his allotted time. He's here to work from sunrise to sunset, and he longs for the time in which the time of work is over and he can have a time of respite. Alternatively, we can look at life as a Sakhir. Hashem has hired us to do a specific job. And whether it takes us 10 years or 50 years to do that job, our responsibility is to get the job done. And therefore, what we're yearning for is the time in which the job has been completed so we can have rest. Either, again, we're here to do as many mitzvahs as we can in the time that's been allotted to us, or we have a specific tafkid in which Hashem wants us to be here on the world in order to fulfill that tafkid. He's open to seeing the world from either perspective. But ultimately, he says in Pasuk Gimel, Kain hanchalti li yarche shav velelot amal manuli. He says at the end of the day, whether I'm a sachir or an eved, whether I'm here to finish the job or to work days, I have been apportioned months of pointlessness and nights that are just toil and devastation. He's saying, I am such a good person. I'm meant to have a good life. But everything about my life is just totally hopeless. It's meaningful. It's meaningless. We can understand this in 1 of 2 ways. Either we could say he's saying, I am a good person. I'm meant to have a good life. I don't know why I'm suffering, given that I'm generally a good person. And he's going to argue this argument later on in the Sefer. And it's so unfair. Human beings are meant to have a little bit of goodness in their lives, surely. But there's actually a more sinister way of reading how Iyov is describing life in general. And this seeps in more explicitly in Pasuk Zayin. In Pasuk Zayin, he says, Zochor ki ruach chayai. He says this, at the end of the day, my life is so bitter. Velo tashuv eini liros tov. And I will not, at the end of the day, my life will pass, and I will not actually see good. In other words, and Rashi very explicitly says this, at this point we start to see that Iyov is kofer betchias hamesim. He doesn't actually believe in resurrection of the dead. He doesn't believe that the function of this life is to get to a more eternal life after this life. And therefore, if he's suffering in this world, well, then there's no point in anything because this is where the good times have to roll. And he accepts that we have to work hard in this world, and he accepts that we are a sakhir or an avid, but also we need to have good times here. Now, what's interesting is that in Eov's first response to his suffering, when he speaks about how he thinks that everything is happenstance and everything is meaningless, he is kafir on one of the principles of Judaism also. He is a heretic in that he doesn't believe in hashkacha pratit, in God's divine guidance of this world. He denies one of the fundamental principles of Judaism, which is that Hashem runs the world with intentionality. Here, he is also rejecting a primary principle of Judaism, but not one about God's divine providence, but more about reward and punishment. And he's saying, I don't believe that there is a reward in the world after this one. And this presents to us a much more sinister understanding of Eov. Let's take a look at Pasuk Tes, which emphasizes this even further. In Pasuk Tes, Eov says, Kala anan veyelach, a cloud fades away. Right, a cloud will empty its water onto the ground, and then the cloud is gone, and it never comes back. Ken yored sha'ol lo ya'aleh. So too, someone who goes down to the grave is not going to come up again. Right, this is a very explicit act of kfira. He is rejecting one of the foundational pieces that Judaism is all about, and we're going to come back to that closer on to the end of the sefer. Now, what's interesting is that we need to understand that there really are two questions that we can ask when it comes to Eov. The one we need to ask is, does he deserve this test in the first place? And the second one is, does he pass this test? Does he deserve the test in the first place? Well, we saw at the beginning that the Malbim wants to say, absolutely not. The whole question of tzaddik v'ralo, why bad things happen to good people, is built on the principle that this is a person who doesn't deserve suffering. Otherwise, it undermines the whole premise of the book. If the premise of the book is to grapple with the theological question of why righteous people suffer, he must be righteous. And therefore, says the Malbim, this is a person who's a tzaddik. However, others, we spoke about some of the other opinions before, here I'm going to talk about the Ralbag, suggests that Eov actually does deserve this test. The Ralbag wants to say that so much of what Eov is expressing at the beginning of the Sefer when we describe his greatness is kind of just playing it safe. In other words, he's playing by the rules of the game only because he doesn't want to get into trouble for breaking those rules, not because he actually believes that the rules exist or he believes in the game. He doesn't truly buy into it. We see this in the phraseology. He is described as a Yarei Elokim. He fears God. He's scared. He's scared of retribution. He's scared of punishment. And this obviously brings his suffering to a crescendo. When he said, if you can imagine, if the whole reason why he's righteous in the first place is because he doesn't want to get hurt by God, and then he gets hurt, that undermines all the righteousness in the first place, right? He offers korbanos on behalf of his children every week, again, because he's concerned that maybe they might sin. He tiptoes around sin as this terribly terrible thing that might cause a person to be uncomfortable in life. But he doesn't really love God and serve God from a true and deep relationship with God. And therefore, says the Ralbag, here what we're seeing is just an expression of his bad hashkafas, which he had in the first place. This explanation, even though it seems to draw back from the big theological question of tzaddik v'ralo, really explains what the Satan is talking about. And the Satan comes to Hashem at the beginning of the book, and he says, well, the only reason why Eov is righteous is because he hasn't suffered. Suffer and let's see what happens. In other words, the Satan is saying everything that Eov is skin deep. But if we dig a little bit deeper, we'll see that he isn't who he thinks he is. And Pasuk Yud Aleph in Perek Zion really emphasizes this sinister take on Eov. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, Eov turns around and he says, Gamani, right? He's speaking about how the clouds dissipate and disappear. So too, he says, Gamani, so too. Lo echshach pi adabra b'tzaruchi. He says, I'm not going to hold myself back. Echshach, I'm not going to hold myself back from speaking about my suffering. Asicha b'mar nafshi. I am going to go on and tell you how awful life is. In other words, since I the only reason why I was holding myself back in the first place and not telling you how my true thoughts about God and my true thoughts about how the world works and hashkacha and tchias amesim is because I was scared of retribution. But now that I'm suffering, well, now there's nothing holding me back. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. And what I think is that God doesn't really care. And what I think is that I just want to have a good time in life and I don't know why I'm suffering. There's no reason for me to hold myself back and be righteous anymore, because the only reason why I was righteous in the first place was because of my fear of punishment. Now that I'm punished, so there's no more rules. I'm free to go. I'm free to say what I want to say. Now, we said that there are two questions. The one question is, does Eov deserve this test? And we've seen two sides of the argument. The second question is, does he pass the test? And the truth is, to really answer the question of does he pass the test, we need to go through another nearly 40 prakim of Sefer Eov, which makes sense. Because if you think back to moments where you yourself were in a test, the people you know, there are moments, looking at them, where we think this person is not passing the test. But time will tell. And sometimes in order to pass the test, we need more time. We need more time to work things over, to think things through, to figure things out, to figure ourselves out. And Eov at this point is just an incredibly underdeveloped person. And we're starting to see that his hashkafic worldview, his understanding not just of God, but of life, is incredibly immature. His understanding of life is, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. I want to have a good time. He doesn't understand that life is far more complicated than that. We know famously when Hirsch Goldberg Pullin was in the tunnels in Gaza, and one of the survivors from Gaza, one of the hostages who came back, told us that right at the beginning, he was in a tunnel with Hirsch, and Hirsch, to quote more broadly, Hirsch told him to start with the why. First, you have to understand why you're alive, and then you'll figure out the what. What is this all for? If this is for having a good time, well, then when you're not having a good time, there's no purpose in life anymore. But if there's a reason, if there's a drive, if there's a will, if there's a higher function, whether it's hashkacha and God's guidance and relationship with God, or whether it's tchias ha-mesim and an eternal afterlife, whether it's a sense of mission that's individual or a sense of mission that's national. And we'll talk about the part of Eov that needs to feel like he's part of a whole. These are all elements to existence, which are so much more powerful, so much more meaningful than just, I want to tick all the boxes so that I can have a good time at night, because tomorrow I die. And we see this immaturity, and we have to realize that we don't know if he passes the test yet. But right now, in looking at Pasuk Zayin, we can very easily say, this is a person who's not passing a test very well. And that's okay. It's okay because he's a work in progress, and he has a long journey to go on before he comes to a mature understanding. And I'll finish with the last two psukim of the Pasuk, which kind of really bring us full, of the Perek, which bring us full circle in terms of what Eov is thinking, experiencing, and going through. Pasuk Chaf, he says, Chatasi ma'efalach, if I've sinned, so I have no idea, God, what have I done to you? What can I do to make things right? Notzer Adam lama samtani lemifkalach. He says, clearly, God, you are offended by my existence. You are so offended by my existence that you're causing me tremendous suffering. You're hurting me right now. So why did you create me? Ve'hiya alai masa, and I am a burden to myself. I'm causing myself so much suffering. So I'm not getting any benefit from my existence right now because I am in so much pain. God, you are clearly getting no benefit from my existence because you're giving me so much pain. So why do I exist? Umalo tis'apish ivata avir es avoni. Why don't you just let me be forgiven? Whatever it is that I did, can we move on? Ki atala afar eshkav, because as we said at the beginning, he says, I'm about to die. At the end of the day, I'm going to die. V'shachar tani ve'eneni, and I'm going to be gone, and I'm not going to exist anymore. So God, why don't you just forgive me and let me have a good time again? Because I'm tired of suffering. I'm tired of being miserable. I'm tired of being in pain. And Hashem, I just either want this to be over, meaning I want to die, or I want this to be over, meaning I want you to end the suffering so I can get back on with my good life. This is stage one of Eov. This is his first response to his first friend. But as we'll see, Eov is going to become a far more appreciative, nuanced, complex human being through the duration of the Sefer. Our learning today was sponsored by the Nach Yomi Chavruta in loving memory of David Hanan ben Michael Verachel, whose short years, despite immense challenges, were filled with Torah, family, and joy. His life left an indelible mark on our community and beyond. May the schus of our learning give his neshama an aliyah, and may his legacy continue to inspire.